Welcome to the Win, Make, Give podcast. This is Chad Himes here, and I'm getting ready for an interview with, well, this one's going to touch my heart a little bit more than many of the other interviews, because I actually have a, well, I guess I could say family connection to our guest. Here I was reading some great articles, reading some great information, and I see the tagline on one of these articles I'm reading happens to be, I guess, the right relationship. My step cousin. I mean, we were cousins growing up, but legally it's step cousins. And I am happy to bring onto the call today an expert in her field, and it makes me proud to say I know her. I'd like to welcome to the podcast Stacey Sherman. So, Stacey, welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you. And if you could see me, you'd know my smile is wide and glowing.
Well, that's good. You're always my favorite of the cousins in there. So if they're listening to them, I'll just say that and get that out of the way now, because that's just, well, and there we go. So, okay, let's bring you into this conversation and introduce you to our audience. Now, I don't like to give this big buildup. I don't like to give this big bio on someone and then get it wrong. I don't like to miss out on the things that are really important to you. So, Stacey, introduce yourself to our audience so they know who they're going to hear from today.
Yes. So, I am a digital marketer who fell into what's called customer experience. CX is the known acronym. And that is all about driving customer excellence, driving satisfaction, measuring it, and being very intentional of experiences. And that does entail employee experience, human experience, and there's a lot to that. So I've made that my field of choice, as well in a corporate world, as well as my side passion projects by night.
Oh, that sounds like a superhero or something. Who knows what she's doing by night? All right. So, and through this whole time, raising two amazing kids that are now off to college and married. So the balance of all of that life as well, you've been able to keep up in the air all at once.
Yeah. Balance is key. I've been very intentional on being able to be the best and show up as the best I can possibly be as a mom, as a wife, as a corporate leader, family member. So yes, balance. That's everything.
Okay. So Stacey, you mentioned in there customer experience. Now, a lot of the people that listen to this podcast might be in sales or have some sort of relationship. So they understand, obviously, they have customers. Whatever term in your industry you refer to them as, yet they're customers. Yet, would you agree that, as you just said, as being a mom, being a wife, as well as all the stuff in your professional world, that customers can include our family, and the lessons that you teach can actually be used not just for customers who are paying us money, yet people who are in our world and we should be giving that same powerful experience to as well?
Yes, exactly. It's about human experiences. Which hat we wear obviously changes, but it's about experiences, and it's the experiences that differentiate both brands, companies, and personal relationships. So yes, it does apply.
Okay, and as we go through, I'll probably challenge you on a comment you make about how we might see that work at home, or where maybe you've seen that in our personal lives. Because folks, we want everyone to understand that, yeah, we want to bring amazing experiences to our customers, yet don't we also deserve to bring it to our families? And I don't know how many times we find people get into a situation, and we've all done this, where we actually will take it out on our family, but we'll still be good to our customers. And our family even deserves it more, yet we just trust in that relationship so much that we vent at our family. We get angry at our family. Boy, we would never do that to a customer, though.
Yeah, it's true. And you can't take your family for granted. You can't take anything for granted, but certainly not the ones you love the most. And it is sometimes it does happen. So it's good to be mindful of that.
So what I heard in there was I was your favorite of the cousins as well.
I didn't say
okay.
that.
All right.
I love,
so
I love you all.
Okay. So just before we started, we had just a moment or two, we were talking just before we started, and I slipped up in the conversation and I actually said customer service, and you were very quick to point out to me. So Stacey, let's point out to the audience that's listening before we even dive into this, the difference between customer service and customer experience.
Yeah, I love this question. So yes, there is a difference. Customer service, well, let me take you back for 1 second. So imagine a journey, a customer journey, which is how we interact with brands. So the moment you learn about a brand, you become aware, you have then a buying experience, and then you're getting the product or the service. So learn, buy, get, use, build, pay your bill, get help when you need it, right? Call customer care or online chat. And the whole thing's a journey. And that's customer experience. It's looking at every single touch point and what I call moments of truth and making sure that every experience is excellent. Because if the beginning, when you become aware of a product through marketing, promotion, and you buy the product, but if getting help with the product to get set up or it's broken and you need help, if you don't have excellent service, then it doesn't matter. Then the customer will leave or worse, tell others. Customer service is really that point in time in the journey where they're really getting help. Customer experience is the whole journey holistically, and that's what I do.
So what you're saying, I'll just grab a company that first comes to my mind, and that's Nike. I've never needed help from Nike, so I'm having an experience that they're providing for me through their marketing, through the products that they've put out there. Customer service would be that moment where the shoe fell apart and I'm picking up the phone and calling Nike and saying, repair my shoe, or whatever that situation would be. It's just one piece of the journey.
Correct. It's one piece. It's an important piece. And it has to be a very low level of effort for you to call, get help, not get transferred around, get what you need fixed easily, and then be able to get off the phone or chat or whatever that communication channel is and feel like you were served, you were serviced, you achieved your goal. And that's the customer service. And that term and service has been around a very long time. Customer experience and the methodology of mapping out the journey to in a very methodical way and measuring the customer happiness at every touch point, that's rather new in this past several years.
Okay, so again, a lot of our people are in sales. Customer service is going to be a part of it. The customer experience is the whole thing. That's finding out about them. That's going to be the purchasing of the product or the sale of a product or something in that area. That's going to then be the follow-up and the relationship that's built after for future business. Without mentioning the company you work with, because we're going to take it off the table, because obviously if they have you, they must have an amazing customer service experience. Give us some examples, though, of some companies that really, really, really do a fantastic job, in your opinion, of creating that customer experience that maybe our audience wants to kind of pay attention to, or probably knows them because they're doing just such a great job of customer experiences.
Yes. So for those who've heard other podcasts, I'm sorry this is a repeat, but it's such a good example. And that is an example is Trader Joe's. I have many examples, but that one's an example that I love. And I don't know anyone that doesn't like that brand. So it's a good, it's not controversial. And the reason why I pick that is the moment I get to Trader Joe's, I walk in the door. I haven't even walked in the door. I haven't even onboarded yet. I literally walk near the door. And right now they're cleaning my cart, spraying it, making sure it's clean, especially during COVID. Then I walk in and they say hello. Wow, what a concept, right? But not every place does when you walk in somewhere. And then let's say I'm looking for something. Well, instead of other places that will say, go over to, they'll point some aisle. I don't even know what it is. Trader Joe's staff members will actually walk you to that point where you're looking for something. They'll even take the bag of a product, open it for you to taste it. And I'm like, no, don't waste it on me. And no, it's okay. We want you to really like what you're buying. I'm like, okay. And then I go and I'm done. And then I go to the cash register to check out. And the register people are helpful. They're telling you about the products. They're recommending other things. They're having conversation. They're personalizing the discussion. And obviously the bill and pay experience is easy. I just take my Apple Pay and swipe it or my watch to the device, or obviously old fashioned credit cards work too. And then I pack up and they say goodbye, and there's a few people that say goodbye. And oh, if I needed help, there was an issue or I was overcharged, right away someone comes over and fixes it, and they're empowered to do that. There's no escalation process. There's no call management or the vice president to fix something. The employees are empowered to make it a great experience. So the lessons learned here are that these are things that are in our control to provide wow moments throughout the journey from before I even got there. Makes sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I love the way Trader Joe's has actually adapted to COVID. I got to tell you, yes, I love the products they sell and we have plenty of them in our home. Yet nothing used to drive me crazier than having to go to Trader Joe's because they seem to always find the smallest parking lots. So to me, they start with that frustration of I'm in this parking lot with 17 spots and 100 people shopping. Their aisles are narrow. So to me, it was always driving me crazy. And the lines were always long and seemed to take forever to get out. I would actually say that Trader Joe's has probably done the best job of any store. I actually enjoy going there more than anywhere right now because of how they're controlling the traffic. And it's been picked up. They've made a much better experience, whereas so many other companies are making the experience very difficult right now. You know, you mentioned in there Apple also. Yeah, I mean, you weren't talking about them as a brand, but there you were, right? Oh, I can pay. Yeah, I can just pick up my phone and Apple Pay and boom, I'm done. That to me sounds like another company that does that. You walk into the awesome Apple stores, you have that great experience, someone's greeting you, they're taking you to the next person, these people are greeting you by names, they've got the things there for you to touch, the things to, and they make sure you don't walk out the door until you have everything set up, complete, full, ready to go, and then they're always there to continue the experience after with follow-up.
Yes, 100%. And here's the thing, here's the differentiator. And that is after, and I just literally bought a new iPad, and they sent me an email. I got home, I got an email, and it said, book 30 minutes, no charge, so we could walk you through your new device. That's like, right, that's a wow moment. That's going up and beyond. That's delivering an experience. They already got my money. They don't have to do that. That drives loyalty. That drives me talking about it right here with, you know, how many people are listening. That's what we all can do, no matter what role we have, is going up and beyond and making it memorable and delivering value.
And back in episode 75, we talked about loyalty and creating brand loyalty and customer loyalty and all that. So folks, if you're missing what Stacy's talking about, go check out an opportunity that Ben and I had where we were talking about it. And I know Ben has such a great customer experience with Apple. He likes to talk about that if he texts you, he likes to see the little dots show up just in the messaging. So he knows that you're getting around to responding and that you're texting him back. He can't stand when someone's using that Android phone and he can't see that the little dots have shown up. So they've even created the customer service or the customer experience for him in the way they've built some of their apps to work and programs to actually work, which creates that experience, which keeps him loyal to wanting to use their tools.
Yes. And you mentioned before, there's a big sales audience that may listen to this, people in sales. And I have to say, I encourage people to not think of themselves as salespeople, but to think of themselves as relationship makers, and they're doing it at every point, at every touch point, interaction that a prospect has with a brand.
Relationship makers.
Yes.
I like that. All right, gang, you're no longer salespeople. You're relationship makers. Let's make the right relationships with everybody. And again, as we said, Stacey, that's including at home.
Yes.
So we should have brand loyalty to our family. We should be having brand loyalty to our spouse. And I know that sounds absolutely ludicrous to even think about, how do I have brand loyalty to my family? But if you don't feel the same way about what's happening in your house, or your family doesn't feel the same way about you as you feel about the Apple products or going to Trader Joe's, isn't there an issue at home?
Yes. And there, yes, it definitely. And I'd love to talk about, you and I share a book we love in common.
Yes.
that segues really well into this topic.
Yes. And you wrote an article for Forbes. As I said, there I was just reading through some articles, and there you are in Forbes. So high five to you virtually through this. Pretty cool to find you in Forbes writing. And the book that you were referring to in this article specific was, I'll let you be the one who gets to.
Yes, it is called The Four Agreements.
So folks, you've probably read it. I'm hoping you've read it. Maybe you haven't read it. And if you haven't, go read it, right? The Four Agreements is a fantastic book that'll get mentioned probably various times in our podcast and other things like that. And you were there listening to it again recently, and it just smacked you upside the head with some things you just had to turn into an article and share with everybody.
Exactly. I will admit, I read this many years ago, and I happened to read, and I bought the Audible book. I love it that much because every time I listen to it, which is frequent, and it could be just a chapter but at a time, but every time I listen or read it, different messages come through depending on where I am in my life. And the four agreements are so important to, like you said, that it applies to home, it applies to our personal life. But the epiphany was, and what I wrote about in Forbes was, how it actually applies to business and our professional lives too.
Yeah. So let's jump into it. Agreement number one, Stacey, is?
Do not make assumptions.
Talk more about that. Because boy, we all do.
Yeah, we're all guilty of projecting what we think onto others. And by the way, I don't know if that was agreement one in order, but we'll go with it.
That's okay. It's the order that you put them in the article. So we're going to go by your article.
Okay, yes. So, yes, so a lot of times we make an assumption of what we think is happening, or what we think, because something's not happening, maybe communication. And we'll jump the gun and think we know what's going on, and we don't. And so some of the recommendations I say about do not make assumptions and to ensure that is around customer experience, but even life experience. So for example, when you think you know something, or you have no communication from someone, don't misinterpret. Don't, you know, avoid those useless arguments. Pick up the phone, call people and say, listen, I haven't heard from you. Or if you're the one who has a customer and they're waiting on you, I say silence is not an option. Pick up the phone and let them know you haven't forgotten about them. I'm still working on it for you. So
that's, and we are all guilty of this in today's world, Stacey, of just ease. And I even mentioned text messaging before. How many times will we just want to avoid the conversation and we just type? Yet how many times have we been in, we could probably each give hundreds of examples of a complete misinterpretation because somebody didn't pick up the phone and have the conversation, and then assumptions were made on, well, this is how I read your text message, even though that's not how it was meant to be sent.
Oh, you're hitting a pain point, because text messages and emails, they never convey the way you really intend a message. In fact, especially with kids, oh my gosh, it's just, yeah, it's totally left for a misinterpretation. of what we're feeling and what we're thinking. Yeah, pick up the phone.
Okay, so keep going under that, you know, the agreement one here of not making assumptions. One I'm hearing from you, pick up the phone. Actually have the conversation. And Ben has said this on many of our episodes, folks. It's have that conversation. Just be willing to come to it with curiosity and be able to have that conversation. Other than picking up the phone, what else do we need to do when it comes to, you know, avoiding all these assumptions?
Yes. Oh, and by the way, I don't mean pick up the phone when it's about like, I'll see you at 6 o'clock or on my way home, right? That's easy for text. There's not much misunderstanding, but it's the conversations, sure. Yes, that need to go offline. Okay. I also believe that we need to ask people what they want, what they need. We don't need to guess about what they're looking for. So in business, when you're in product development, ask the customer, get the voice of the customer early on and develop what they want, need. Don't throw it out, you know, into the market and hope it sticks. So really important, don't assume what you think you know what they want. Ask them.
How do we do that kind of stuff? I mean, is it, again, just pick up the phone? Or do we gather a small group and pull them in a situation? What's the best ways you've seen when people are looking to find out from the customer what they really need so we can create the right product or give the right experience or right service to that customer?
So yes, there's a lot of different methodologies. There are surveys, which for product development, I don't choose that method. I think having conversations with real people and the ability to have the dialogue is important. So I'll do one-on-one conversations. I'll do focus groups, online, in person, whatever it might be, and go through, even if the product's not developed or even if there's no prototype, it's still concept validation. What do you think about this idea? What's your willingness to pay based on the value propositions we're talking about? What's missing? So when you get their feedback early on, you can actually develop something or market messaging to meet their needs. So it's humanizing that experience.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier digital. So obviously when we talk digital, we're starting to talk social media. We're starting to talk those kinds of things. What are your feelings when it comes to this topic right here and customer experiences overall with things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter? And I could just keep going because there's so many platforms out there. Do people need to be on every one of them? Do they pick one? How do you best recommend they use those sort of things before we move on to agreement number two?
Yeah, so social media, I would say it's a great tool to get your message out. It's a great way to generate awareness. Where I say that companies have to be very careful is that customers do post their reviews and feelings online. And brands have to be very careful and monitor what customers are saying and respond. Because if they don't, then people, customers and non-customers, will make assumptions that the brand doesn't care or the brand, you know, what someone wrote is truth and it may not be.
Okay. So the experience, that experience gets poisoned in the eyes of potential customers if we just leave those things out there. Now, people have the right to say what they want to say, sadly, and at times. And sadly, what they say is not always truth. They're going to just put their own spin on it, or maybe they want to take your company down, so they're going to say what they're going to say. Yet a response should always be there so that we're having a conversation and that other potential customers see the experience with the company is that open forum and that we're in that position of not making assumptions, yet we're in that position of having the conversation.
Yeah, people are watching and they are making assumptions. So you have to be very careful to respond and what you say and how you say it and how you end up closing the loop for people who have, you know, a good or bad thing to say, and trying to get that conversation maybe in an online chat or offline, so that, you know, it's branding. Social media is all about branding. So you have to be very careful for this first agreement to make sure that they don't make the wrong assumptions and that your brand is really customer centric. Give that perception.
Okay, which takes us right into agreement number two, because maybe someone is posting that. Maybe somebody is making assumptions. Maybe something is happening that isn't what we believe the truth to be. And we know there's the old saying, right? There's three sides to every story: his, hers, and the truth. Mm-hmm. When it comes to it. So Stacey, what's agreement number two to help us deal with this?
So the second one is, do not take anything personally. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. This is not easy. We're all, you know, sensitive human beings living human experiences. And I don't care who you are, there are things that touch us. There are things that trigger us. And especially in a work environment, you have to be careful not to take it personally. A lot of it's business. Rejections in sales, for example, it's not that they might not like you. It's competitor won their hearts more. So yeah, it's a big one.
Okay. So some of the people here are leading organizations. Some of the people here are leading certain people while being led. Some people here are just in a position of, I'm being led and wanting to become a leader myself, growing into that. What are some tips that you have for the leaders that are out there when it comes to making sure we're not taking anything personally?
Yes, I would say as a leader, you must spend one-on-one time with your people, all levels, up, down, sideways, no excuses. You've got to make time with people and understand what matters to them. And I always say happy employee leads to a happy customer. So you know, even an employee's loose, right? Some people have independent contractors, some work with freelancers, some are employees, whatever it is, interns, it doesn't matter. The point is really get to know and listen to what someone's saying so that you understand where they're coming from and you yourself don't take something personally.
That's a great point. And we've talked about it on other episodes as well. You might be an independent contractor or something, and you're on your own, yet you're never on your own. You always have people that you recommend regularly. You always have other service providers that you work with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So they might not be employees that you're having to deal with taxes and that they actually have to punch a clock or anything like that with you, yet they might as well be one of your employees because they're part of that customer experience when you're handing your clients, your customers over to them for part of whatever the transaction is, correct?
Yeah. And
I mean, all the way to the guy who washes the car and details the car when I go buy a new car, the salesman might be great. The financing guy, we know what he's up to, but he still might be good at it. Yet, it comes all the way down to, did the guy clean the car or did I now get through the hours of purchasing a new car and get in a dirty car?
Yes. And every single person plays a role in when you leave the whole place, every person, every interaction can make or break the experience. So that's really an important point where in small and big companies, you have to realize you, every individual owns a customer experience. Even when they think they don't have a customer experience CX job, you do.
Right. Definitely. I'm thinking right now, I mean, I was a waiter for many, many years and many people have had that opportunity. I personally think it's a job everybody should have to do for 1 year of their life. We'd all be nicer to waiters. Yet you go to a restaurant and isn't the customer experience different when you don't have your regular server?
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, the restaurant's still great. The food's still great, but maybe the experience isn't the same because of that. Or maybe the chef is out that night and the experience isn't the same because the assistant chef didn't make it just the same. Everybody, and what Stacey's saying, she's making a great point of that, is that not everybody has to be one of your employees to be part of your customer experience. So making sure you're knowing who those people are and having those relationships and those conversations.
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. So then keep going. That's not the only thing we need to know when it comes to making sure we're not taking anything personally. We need to also do some other things with those people who are our employees. And again, I'm air quoting that, whether that means literal employee or, as we have just said, just part of the customer experience style employee.
Yeah. And even partners and vendors and, I mean, everybody who's in your circle, it's important to really engage and validate what you think you heard. I like to say validate your beliefs. So for example, if you say something to me and you're teaching me something or explaining something, I'll often play it back. Did I understand you correctly? And you'll have a chance to say, no, I didn't mean this part. And it goes hand in hand to actually all the other agreements, but it's important because you can avoid disagreements and misunderstanding and communication. And if I didn't clarify that, I might walk away and say, gosh, that really offended me, or why did he say that? So clarify so that you don't take anything personally that wasn't intended for you to take personally.
Sure.
So, and then the other thing I want to say is it's important to think outside the box. Yes, we have business relationships. We have connections, business dealings with people. And it's good to actually get to know them in different ways. And what I mean by that is really taking advantage of connection time. And so one of the things I've done is to really get to know my staff, my people, is that I started a book club. And it happens to be an author I love, Simon Sinek, Start with the
Great Why. Great author. We've talked about many of his books, yes.
Okay. So he's, you know, brilliant in his very simple approach to get to a point of know your why, live your why, and have other people know your why and hold each other accountable. And so that's what I did with my team. And by doing that, it's enabled us to understand each other so that when someone does something and I don't understand it, I definitely don't take it personally. I really understand them better. So do things where you really can get to know people so you don't make those assumptions of what they say or do and you don't take it personally.
Okay. And again, Stacey's taking us through this at work. We're talking employees. We're talking people that are a part of our work team. Yet, boy, this is every relationship we have, right? Don't take things personally. Yes, who's going to be more personal than your spouse or your kid? Yet that doesn't mean that's how they mean it. It just feels that way. And don't make those assumptions. Have those conversations. Sometimes the kids are a little too young to have it or emotional that they can't have it right then. Yet pick up that phone, have that conversation. And for those of you who haven't read Start With Why by Simon Sinek, put that one on your list. It's right here in my office within arm's reach. Or what I always tell people to do, if you don't want to read it, you can cheat and just Google his TED Talk. It's 18 minutes long and he will sum it all up for you. Yet it is a book worth putting on your shelf, as are all of his books. So Stacey, let's keep going. Let's get to agreement number three. This one's going to be a challenge for a lot of people. Yet, talk about agreement number three.
Yeah. So this is be impeccable with your word, literally your verbal word, though there is the nonverbal body language too, but the word. Yep. And yeah, this is hard. A lot of people don't think before they speak.
Oh, did I hear that as a kid? Heck, I think I heard that last week from somebody still. Yeah. Okay. So help us with this one. Think before we speak. Help us be impeccable with our word. Talk us through some things that we should have in mind to make this easier for us.
Yeah. So what we say really impacts other people. And so often we may say something, but then we may be trying to convey a thought and they walk away with an assumption based on the words we chose that they didn't do a good job or they're not good enough or, you know, anything negative. And so I say be very intentional with what you communicate and how you say it. And I say, I mean, your words are really powerful. So use your words consciously to build people up. Express appreciation to your coworkers, your teams, your family. That's in our control.
Mm. Yeah, Ben talks about this a lot when we talk leadership. He does a great job. He will give praise publicly and take blame publicly. So he will always make sure he's using his words very intentionally, and he will always make sure he's building people up specifically in front of the, in the eyes of others, where he will absolutely say that such and such did a fantastic job. And he will be the first to fall on a sword as the leader and say, that's my bad, to make sure that he's always building people up. So not only building people up with our words, we have to be intentional with our words. And then we also have to know who we're talking to, right? Talk to us a little bit more about this.
Oh, yeah, I have a funny story on this one. So yes, know your audience.
Can you just say that word again one more time?
Know your audience.
I just like hearing you with your accent in there. All right, keep going. All right.
I knew that was coming. So, so this is an example. You have to know your audience. You have to know who you're talking to, their backgrounds, their cultures, their beliefs, and personalize your message. So here's an example. I was talking to people, actually a couple of people, happened to be on a conference call. People in the room, some on the conference call, people were from Italy, Switzerland, United States, different areas, all together on this call. And I happened to say that in the context of delivering great customer experiences and sort of premium service to individuals, I said, you know, we need to deliver white glove service. And so some folks overseas said, white glove? You mean like you don't want to get your hands dirty? And I said, no, just the opposite. We need to give white glove, like really extra care. And so it's impeccable with your word. You know, you have to know who's listening and how they might interpret.
Yeah. That's powerful because boy, we have a lot of slang expressions or things like that we can be in that challenge of, I mean, heck, in the next generation, they don't even talk in full words anymore, right? They LOL and all these other things that they do. And if you don't know what those stand for, you're not talking to the right audience. You're going to be saying something that you're going to regret later.
Yeah. And actually my kids are the ones who taught me, like, if you write like in caps, or even if you write just K, not okay. If you just write K, that's not okay. It has to be KK. And I'm like, KK. Like, so again, know your audience because they interpret, they make assumptions, and they take personally. You write it wrong or you say it wrong, and it can be confusing. But if you want to convey your message, you need to know how they interpret it.
Okay. So you just recapped them for us very nicely, right? We don't make assumptions. That's what we talked about. We don't take things personally. We are impeccable with our word. And if you're in the car listening to this right now, don't worry. I will post a link to this article in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/winmakegive, when we post this episode. We'll make sure to share the link to this article so you can go back and grab all of Stacy's powerful messages that she's sharing with us. Yet, Stacy, let's wrap it up. What's agreement number four And this should be one that everybody should be doing anyway.
Yeah. So this one is known as always do your best. Now, I love this statement because we often talk about doing more than 100%. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I put in 120% effort today. And no, there's only 100%. In fact, there's a point of diminishing return and there's a point where your energy runs out.
Yeah, I'm just laughing here in the background, Stacey, because that's actually a pet peeve of mine, right? It drives me nuts when people tell me that they put in 110% or 120%. I'm like, not possible. It's literally not possible to do that. Stop telling me you're doing that. So, okay, so good. Stacey's telling us we can't do 100% or more than 100%. And what you're actually saying is with diminishing returns, doing 80% might be that stopping point because the extra 20% really gets us nowhere and it's just more work.
Well, you have to know your limit. You have to know your point of where the extra energy doesn't end up doing more. Mm-hmm. And so yes, 100% is a good baseline, but again, it's always doing your best. I think people do burn out because they are trying to do more than their best and it ends up, backfiring sometimes. And again, I think that especially during COVID, where time, the concept of time and a clock, there really is none. It's like weekends, weekdays, it's all blending. And so you really have to manage your energy more than your time as you're doing your best.
Give us a tip on how to do that, right? Help us manage our energy there. How do we do it?
So what I like to do is I have three buckets. I use technology to keep organized, but you can do it on paper or technology. And that is...
And we love the term buckets here, so keep going. You're already a winner with everybody in our audience. We have buckets all the time.
Okay. Well, so my buckets are now, soon, later.
Okay.
And I have probably 1,000 thoughts a day where, oh, I want to do this. Like I'm a kid in a candy store every day. I always have so much I want to do and accomplish. And I get disciplined and I put it in one of those now, soon, later, and helps me manage my day. I wake up every day. How do I want to experience this day personally and professionally and get very laser focused on what's now? And sometimes the soon and later creep up into the now and I'm like, no, that's not now, and manage my energy that way.
Okay. So give me an example of something in your now bucket. If I were to reach in and pull something out of that now bucket, if it were actually a real bucket filled with post-it notes of now ideas, what's something that's in your now bucket right now?
So my now right now is I just relaunched my website. It started out as a blog and it served a great purpose. And then it became, I like the crawl, walk, run approach. So I was crawling, walking. Now I'm running with my website. It's all brand new. And so right now there are some things that content, wording, I want to fix. They're low hanging fruit. They're low level of effort. Carve out an hour today and spend some time optimizing it. So,
okay. So that's the now. What's in the soon bucket? Give me something that's in that soon bucket. If I were looking.
Yeah. The soon is I want to write another article. I like to keep it fresh content for my readers. So soon is write a new article, share podcasts, increase the content.
Okay. And I think you know what questions come in next, right? Let's go all the way into that later bucket. What's later?
Yeah, later is doing things that are on my wish list or things that I just passionate to do. So as an example, I want to do TED Talks. Okay. And start to move into making that real. So it's not today. It's not next week, but it's one of those passionate to do.
Okay. And I'm sure one of our listeners might be able to reach out to you and help you on that. Now, you gave us now, soon, and laters that were all professional. Your website, you know, fixing that stuff. It was write another article, and then it was later is going to be doing TED Talks, things like that. Would someone be able to have the now, soon, later with their family?
Oh, yes, for sure. So, and definitely a house project too, because boy, I look around and there's a lot of repairing and improvements. So yes, there's definitely now, soon, later with your home repairs and family, family stuff. So for me, as an example, I have just become an empty nester. So now was bringing my teens to their colleges. Now is helping move in. And then soon is to really help, I would say actually some of it's mental and some of it's physical.
Sure.
So mentally soon get adjusted to life with them not here and all that that means. And make sure I'm paying the bills. And then ultimately later is really to transition them back home.
No, no. Once they're gone, close that door, downsize.
No, it's that's not reality. And truthfully, I say expect the unexpected, because with COVID, you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen with universities. So be agile. What's now, soon, later may change, but adjust and pivot and enjoy the moments.
All right. So it sounds to me like you've created an amazing customer experience for your kids growing up and going all the way to college. You've created some amazing customer experiences with our audience today. I think it was an amazing experience. And you've created some amazing customer experiences, obviously, with the people that you've been helping. There's probably one question I didn't ask you that I should have asked you on this opportunity that you wanted to share with everybody or you were hoping would come up. What's that question? What's that one more tip you have so that our audience can create that amazing customer experience, whether it's at home, whether it's with themselves, or whether it's with an actual customer? Give us that one last thought, Stacey.
I would say be very intentional, be very purposeful on how you spend your day, who you interact with, who you allow in your life, and do the basics, right? Forget about what all the textbooks say, because there are definitely customer experience methodologies, but I'm talking about do the basics, and that is to know your end game. Know every interaction you have. Is it to build a relationship? Is it to nurture, you know, connections? And if so, be very intentional how you do that, and who you surround your world in. And when you do that, you end up, right? It's contagious. So when you're trying to drive happiness with the people around you, they pay it forward and there's this movement. So it starts with you.
Okay. So Stacey, someone's sitting there and they're like, I want more from this. I want more about this customer experience. I want to help Stacey with that TED Talk. I want to learn more about how it can impact my business. How can our audience connect with you after listening to this episode, if they so want to?
Yes, I welcome that opportunity. So I have, my website is called Doing, DoingCX, Right, RIGHT. And for those who don't know about customer experience, CX is the terminology in the industry. So Doing CX Right, and I encourage you to read my articles, to listen to some of the podcasts, and learn about how you can deliver excellence no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, and best practices. And it's all there. So I welcome feedback and I welcome connection.
Oh, well, we appreciate you taking the time. It's wonderful to connect with you, to continue the experience. And we appreciate you becoming part of our customer experience with us and our audience by being another step in strengthening the conversation that we get to have each and every episode.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, an additional resource is I just published a book. It's co-authored.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's co-authored and a second one's coming out in October internationally. And it's all about customer experience. So if you go on Amazon, there's links from my website, but on Amazon, you look up Stacey Sherman, you'll see it there. And again, this is just to drive more people into this way of operating as your brand differentiator, personal brand and business brand.
Oh, wonderful. So folks, you can visit Amazon and search for Stacey Sherman there or go to her website, doingcxright.com, where you'll be able to find links to the books that are available that she has put out. We sure hope that we have been creating a customer experience that you have been enjoying. We hope you've been enjoying it so much that you've been sharing the podcast. We love when we see a rating and a review on the podcast. We appreciate each and every one of them, and we read each and every one of them. So keep them coming and keep sharing this podcast. Send people to winmakegive.com where they can get all the information that's going on about the podcast and how to connect with us. And we can't wait to continue this customer experience and grow it and grow it and grow it with you. Until our next episode, remember, wash those hands, and as always, do good.